Hello and welcome to the Flow Podcast, the March 2017 edition, joined today by Carl Beach for the first time.
Hello, everybody.
How you doing, mate?
I'm doing great, man. Yeah.
So this is your first time on the Flow Podcast.
Yeah. Although I'm a seasoned broadcasting professional, you know, with my own little radio show, but we won't talk about that at the moment.
Down in London Village.
Down in London. Yeah.
So Carl, you've been with us well over a year now.
Yeah.
And part of the furniture,
yep.
As I say. And what do you do here at The Message?
That's a great question.
Your job title is UK director, yeah. So you direct people in the UK.
Yes. So basically, The Message obviously predominantly worked in Manchester for a good couple of decades. And then they felt a release from the law to go across into other areas of the UK, particularly areas of urban need where there's poverty and stuff. And I it's sort of major part of my job is overseeing the rollout of message hubs into strategic locations in the UK, but also have a little bit of a function here, don't I, where I sort of oversee a lot of the day-to-day shenanigans of the Message Trust. So, yes, it's an eclectic job with eclectic things happening.
We often talk about, for fans of the West Wing, we often talk about you being the kind of Leo kind of
yes,
character.
Yes, I am Leo. Yeah, so for those that watch the West Wing, if you haven't watched the West Wing, how do we describe Leo? What is his
kind of chief of staff?
Yes, yeah.
Making sure everything happens.
Yeah, I think trying to keep the president calm. Yeah. I think that's my my function. Try and deal with stuff. Yeah, which I like doing. You know, I like plate spinning. Sometimes the plates wobble a little bit, but I do like it. So yeah, it's cool.
It's busier as well, isn't it?
It's full on, mate, actually. Yeah, I think I was just saying to someone earlier that I think people look at The Message and they see it's quite a shining, bright, passionate, creative, talented bunch of people, you know, and doing some amazing stuff. But truth is, to create anything beautiful, there's a lot of pain as well, isn't there? To push through for Great Kingdom stuff, you've got to work hard, and we do work at a pace. You know, don't yeah. we?
There's always really something do. Going on, isn't there?
Yeah. It's crazy, but crazy good. You know, but it is really full on. I mean, I thought I was full on before, but this is full on. So
yeah,
it's
and
great.
You say before, one of the things people probably know you for best, really, is men's ministry. That's something you've been involved in for a number of years, isn't it?
Yes.
So, but actually, you've also been involved in a lot of urban missionary work before as well, haven't you?
Yeah, so my first sort of thing I ever did, first bit of ministry I ever did, was plant a church on a very tough council estate back in 1996, actually. And very intriguingly, at the same time, we were watching the Message Trust emerge in Manchester, and we actually sent people to Eden teams at that time. But I was pioneering double-decker bus ministry and furniture stuff and food bank type work without even realising what was happening in the Message Trust all those years ago. So real kindred spirit stuff, really. And it all stemmed back for me when I came to Christ at 18, but I first really felt God call me about the needs of the urban poor when I was about 4 or 5 years old, and used to sit on the London Underground coming up from Hornchurch, see my dad in London. He's working in London at the time as a cop. I used to sit on the train and go past all these bombed out buildings and rubbish housing estates all around Barking, Dagenham, the East End. And I remember one time actually weeping. I just cried as a young kid because I didn't like what I was seeing. And looking back, I realised that was God first calling me to work with the poor. You know, so actually being here at The Message all those years later, after leading churches, planting churches, 10 years in men's ministry, which I really steered towards reaching working blokes, you know, is a major passion of that ministry. This is kind of a fulfillment, really. So it's cool. Yeah. And it's a very diverse role, which makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you often share on sort of Tuesday mornings with Andy and Sam and loads of other people as well. And you often tell stories about those times back in London, working in those communities there, don't you?
Yeah. It was foundational experience, really. I don't think you can work at The Message unless you're passionate about reaching the poor and passionate about, you know, setting things right and passionate about seeing Jesus transform lives. So for me, those I honestly think, actually, the first 20 or so years of ministry that I've done were preparation for what I'm doing now, when I look back. You don't realise it at the time. Every job you're in, you think, this is what God's called me to do. But actually, I genuinely feel like that was all preparation and getting my heart right for it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's great, mate. It's all good.
And so around the UK, obviously, we've been doing Eden around the UK for a number of years, but we're kind of starting to do all the other bits of message work, aren't we? Just tell us about what that looks like.
Yeah, so the message package, as we call it, is obviously Eden, where we're trying to see community transformation, embedding people into really broken communities long term. But also we have the creative mission strand, our backflippers and rappers and all those kind of cool dudes, but passionate about proclaiming the gospel. And then the enterprise work, trying to create jobs for people, and prisons work. So when I first got here, we obviously had that was happening in Wales. That was already getting really established well with Gary Smith leading it, but was yet to really emerge elsewhere. So over the last 15 or so months, we're now opening up offices in London, we're there, and Midlands, and going to Yorkshire, Scotland, looking potentially at other regions like the Northeast. And it starts with Eden, and then we, because that's obviously the vanguard, and then we try and off the back of that start doing the schools work and creative mission stuff and looking at getting into other prisons, and out of that the last stage will be getting the enterprise work going. But of course, adding into the mix of all that at the moment is the hire tour, which is a massive thing. And for those that don't know what the hire tour is, this is going to be the biggest youth mission the UK's ever seen. We could potentially reach hundreds of thousands of kids over the next few years. So front and center, for instance, in the Midlands region is rolling out hire, where we're going to see maybe 50,000-60,000 kids hear the gospel and thousands of kids at proclamation events. And off the back of that, we'll see more Eden, more creative mission, et cetera, et cetera. So it's big stuff, actually. It's big stuff.
And if you're in the Midlands, we've got a couple of launch events, or four launch events, actually, over a weekend in May.
Correct.
So check out the website, come along to there. They're going to be great evenings just to share and vision, really. And there's loads of churches involved in it already, which is really exciting, isn't it?
So that'd be in really key flagship churches in Wolverhampton, in Birmingham, in Solihull and Coventry. So that whole swathe of the West Midlands, we're going to hit that hard with the message of Jesus of young people, and they're going to love it. It's going to be cool.
And March next year is actually when we do the mission itself, isn't it?
Yeah, big stuff, yeah. And of course, we're also looking at going into Yorkshire and the potential for Scotland and Wales. So yeah, it's all happening. Check out the website. There's so much on there about what's happening.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
One of the other great things that we get to do here is kind of hear people's testimonies, which is exciting. Obviously, we often share those ones, the ones that come out from prayer days. But we actually had another event, didn't we, over in the MEC a few weeks ago,
where
we heard a great testimony from one of our team, didn't we?
So yeah, we had this evening event with Gary Grant. Gary Grant's the head honcho of the Entertainer Toy Shops, who's got a fascinating story himself of coming to Christ, setting up his businesses, and implementing all kinds of real kingdom-centered, you know, staff policies, and not trading on Sundays, and God blessing him, even though he really held the line on that against the big shopping malls. And so, brilliant event, and we packed out the Enterprise Centre, the place where we run our businesses to employ people out of prison and stuff. And as part of that evening, we had a fascinating story, actually a beautiful story from Joe, who is one of the residents at the Oaks. And I don't know if you're going to listen to that, are we?
Yeah.
But it's absolutely amazing. And I think you could have heard a pin drop when he was telling his story, because it really brought home the reality of what we're trying to do, I think.
Starting off in life, life didn't hand me a good card. I grew up and both my mum and dad were both alcoholics. And I had five older brothers. My dad had me when he was 50, and my mum was approximately 42. My oldest brother was about 22 when I was born. And growing up, when I used to walk down the town and that, I would always want my brother to be like my dad, because my dad was old, he was an alcoholic, and my brother was cool. So as I went through life, kind of hiding the fact that my dad was my dad, and my brother was, I was trying to kind of make out my brother was my dad, that kind of took effect on me. People used to come to my door all the time, and I was like, oh, my brother is cool. What I didn't know was my brother sold drugs. By the time I was 12 years old, I was smoking cannabis with my brother. By the time I was 16 years old, I was smoking heroin. 2 years later, I'm now injecting heroin, and I'm now on methadone. My life had got that bad that my aspiration in life was to be on a methadone script and disability living allowance. And by the age of 19, I had accomplished my aspiration in life. Years went on and on and on, and I was in and out of jail countless amount of times. But then one night when I was 24, my brother went out to get his heroin, and when he come back that day, he got arrested by the police, and he got to jail for it. But he got let out in about approximately 4 weeks later on high court bail. because it was his first drugs charge. On the day he got released, it was my gyro day. So me being the good brother that I was, made the decision, as I would always do, is to go and buy heroin for us. So I went and bought heroin, I come back to the house, and my brother was a bigger guy, so he couldn't, he struggled to inject himself, and injecting was one thing that I was good at doing to people. So I made that, I made it up in the spoon, and I gave my brother an injection. He went through to the bathroom, and as he went through to the bathroom, I knew there was something wrong. He come back through, and he was chalk white, and the sweat was dripping off him, absolutely sweating. So he sat down, and all of a sudden, he started convulsing. I had a friend with me as well, when my friend started shouting, phone an ambulance, phone an ambulance. But when you're in that position, and it's your brother, and it's you that's did this, phoning an ambulance was the last thing in my mind. The last thing in my mind was to phone an ambulance. I just wanted to, I was, minutes turned to, it felt like minutes were hours, and do you know what I mean? And I'm standing on my brother's body, and I'm like, I need to bury him, I need to get rid of this, I need to sort this, how do I sort this? I eventually did phone the ambulance, and he was dead. My brother died, do you know what I mean? I can remember my mum running up the stairs, and I can remember my mum screaming, he's no dead, he's sleeping. Do you know what I mean? 4 years later, I walk into my mother's house, and I could feel the intense heat. The heat was unexplainable. It was November the 6th, and as I've walked in, I've went, Mum, are you all right? And as she's looked at me, half her face is drooping to the side. So I phoned an ambulance straight away, and they asked me to grab two of my mum's hands and tell her to grip them. So as I've said to my mum, I said, grip my two hands, Mum. So she's gripped them, but only one of them's gripping. So I've said this to the ambulance people when they're like that, right, we'll send some out just now. So as the ambulances came, they've took her outside into the ambulance, and I'm choking just to go and get drugs. I just took a tenner out of my mum's purse. I'd stole a tenner off her because I needed to go and get drugs. And the ambulance guy has then come back in the house, and he said to me, do you want to jump in the back of the ambulance with your mother? I wanted to go and get drugs. There was only one decision I was making that day, and that was to go and get drugs. I didn't know that the last time I was gripping my mum's two hands would be the last time that I was going to see my mother alive. I didn't know that, do you know what I mean? But the decisions that I had made were wrong decisions, but it was something that I would always have to live by. None of my family spoke to me. Nobody talked to me. I moved to Largs, and I got the opportunity to go to a rehab, Teen Challenge. So I went to Teen Challenge Rehab, where I met this young, bald guy, 22 years old. I didn't want to hear anything about God. If anybody spoke to me about God, I didn't want to hear it, because if there was a God, why? Why had I went through what I went through? But this wee boy, I didn't have the heart to tell him to shut up because he had a stutter. So I listened to this guy. And he invited me up in the 28th, I forget the date off my head, but he invited me up to the classroom to say a prayer of salvation. And I did it, and I didn't understand what it meant to begin with. But as I was going into chapels and that, I could hear a voice behind a voice all of a sudden. I could hear somebody new. It was like something was trying to talk to me. So I'd done the 18-month programme at Whitchester House, and then I left. I went to the Leadership Academy, and then I got a job. But when I was in this job, there was still something missing for me. And before I knew it, I'd relapsed because of certain things that had went on. So I then went back to Largs, and I'd nothing to do. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh no, what did I do with my life? I had no opportunity, no nothing. And then a guy, Cyril Wilden, who works for the Message Trust, had phoned my outreach worker because they know each other. And he said to him about the Message Trust and what they offer and all that. Do you know what I mean? So I applied and I got in, and I now stay with our family, Simon and Jane Sullivan. Jane's now in hospital just now. But it was like everything I'd ever dreamt of. But it took about 3 months to get into it, everything I'd ever dreamt for. Because even though I had a family, you can have a family, but you can still feel so alone. And that's what I did in my own family. I felt so alone, do you know what I mean? Whereas now I stay with a family, and it's a bit ironic. I had five brothers in my real family. And see now where I stay, I've got five brothers now. Do you know what I mean? Coming to the Message, what's it done for me? Well, I come in here, and as you know, I cooked a sticky toffee pudding. And it's like, I've got something to get up for, do you know what I mean? See, if I didn't move to the Oaks when I did, I don't know where I would be, do you know what I mean?
That really is an amazing story, isn't it, Carl?
is absolutely phenomenal. But actually what it also does is capture what we're all about. And I think if you were to cut us in half and say, what is the message all about? It's rescue in the name of Jesus, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And seeing transformation. So, and I think Joe just captures everything. What an amazing story. Yeah. What an amazing guy.
He's doing really well, isn't he?
Super.
Hopefully be an employee in the Message Enterprise Centre pretty soon as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully was to see him maybe working away in our kitchens and stuff. And he absolutely loves that. And there's all sorts of potential there on our street food business as well, the Mess Hut. So, yeah, you just see God's hand on him, and I love that. It's great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So one of the other highlights this month, obviously we always have prayer days, as I said before, which is great, and we had the joy of having Mark Ritchie with us, who's come and done a lot of prayer days actually over the years.
Yeah, he's a funny guy, but he's a profound guy as well, and he really nailed it this time. Actually, well, he nails it every time, doesn't he? But yeah, amazing.
So let's have a little bit of a listen to Mark Ritchie. So this is a very, very edited version, just a couple of minutes, and you can listen to the whole talk actually on our Message podcast. But here's a bit from Mark.
In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, God speaks to Joshua and says this: "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Wow. Moses had led the people, and now Moses is dead, and it's now Joshua's turn, and God speaks to him and says, "Be strong, be bold, be courageous. Take courage, my heart." That's what I want to speak to you about today. Take courage, my heart. God, he's asking you to take courage. He's asking you to take this incredible steps of faith. And you have to understand that God speaks in this language, and he speaks in the language of faith. God speaks to you in the language of faith. And sometimes we don't understand everything. We don't have every I dotted and every T crossed. Sometimes we've just got to take that leap and trust that God has got it. And you guys are part of something here. You are part of something where you are provoking each other to go further than you would ever have gone without having this daring culture. You are going to step and do something in faith that, like, it's like, wow. I'm preaching around the country about praying over sick people, praying for people with cancer, praying for people that they're healed in the name of Jesus. And I come into an environment like this, and I'm telling you, this is not just zinging because there's a good energy in the room. This is zinging because we're part of a daring culture, and that there's people around this room that are urging you on and saying, you can do more than you think you can. You can do beyond what you think you can. It's like, only be strong and courageous. This is a defining moment, a time when you guys can actually do stuff that is beyond what a missions organization should do, because you are part of a daring culture and you're actually urging each other to do greater and bigger things than you could ever have done if you weren't part of this. We have this thing where we think that risk-taking, it's all going to be smooth and beautiful, and the first time you do it, it's going to be amazing. And we get so obsessed by things being excellent and the spirit of excellence. You know what? But guys, sometimes we've just got to have a go, and we've got to try some stuff because we're taking some risks. And when you do things for the first time, guess what? You get some of it wrong. And when you experiment and you're doing new things and it's innovative and it's creative, and you guys, this is where innovation lives. This is creative, where it all lives. And I'm urging you to keep on being brave and keep on trying stuff and keep on doing things. And let's try some stuff where we have a few more, like, you know, train wrecks where we're like, oh, that did not go great, but guess what, we learned some lessons and we're going to do something different, but we're going to keep on with this thing. Be brave, be courageous, be strong. And we have an option of whether we want to play it safe, or we have the option of stepping forward and saying, okay, enemy, if this is how it's got to be, we're willing to fight for a generation. We're willing to fight to see young people come to faith. We are willing to fight for our schools. We're willing to fight for our territory. We're willing to fight for our housing estates. We're willing to fight for our prisons, because God you have put something inside of us which is greater and bigger than any fear. Bravery is when that thing inside of us rises up and is bigger than our fear.
Do you know what I'd also say about Mark, if I'm honest? He's very funny to listen to, but he has got quite a funny face. Don't you think? He's got a funny face. He's just a funny guy, isn't he?
He is.
Sometimes he'd come up to you and say hello, and you look at his face, you think, that's just funny. He's I don't know if genius. I could say that or not, but he is. Well, I've just done it. But he is a funny guy.
Too late.
Yeah, too late. But he is. So you got, I think we got a video of it, haven't we? Have we got a video
of it? No, unfortunately. Oh, we haven't got a video.
Well, people need to go on YouTube and watch him then. Because he's done sellout shows, isn't he? At the Edinburgh Festival, Fringe, and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, one thing, if you listen to the whole talk, which is on our main message podcast, yeah. You can listen to loads of funny stories in there as well. This edited version was kind of some of his kind of more serious points, I guess. Yeah. He talks a lot about a lot of the comedy shows that he's now doing around the UK.
Wow, and amazing. He'd actually go and do he told the story, didn't he, of doing the stand-up set. And then leading people to Christ.
Yeah.
Like making a response. You're doing like people going for a stand up evening and he made an appeal. People got saved. Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Do you know what I mean?
It's brilliant.
It?
Yeah. Love Mark.
Fantastic. Another thing that's happened in the last month as well is Vital Signs have won an award, haven't they? Which is one of our bands.
Yes. So Nick Shalavi performing as New Breed, because I didn't realise this, but a lot of hip hop acts, they work as collectives. So Vital Signs are two guys. For those that don't know, and Nick performed as New Breed, and he went into this competition called the Anno Domini Song Contest, which is like a global thing, isn't it?
Where yeah,
people,
it's massive.
All these, it's a huge thing where people from all over the world enter this competition. But obviously, the hip hop genre can have the odd, fruity language in it, and slightly sort of subculture themes. Let's put it like that. But Nick's song was front and centre, Proclamation of Christ, enters this competition and wins it.
It's so amazing, isn't
absolutely
it?
Incredible. Yeah, and his song was called "My Story." And this competition apparently has been going every year since 2006. But Nick's song was his whole story of salvation, Jesus' death on the cross, forgiveness, resurrection, and this team. I've just got a quote here: the team of 20 judges. We're impressed by his mic presence, delivery, passion and raw emotion, and praised him for holding nothing back in his performance. That's a hand of God on that, isn't it? Absolutely phenomenal.
Now let's have a listen to that now. I can see it more clear way beyond the borders. I've straight came back, shaking off the shame. I don't play that. Journal of the pain of the rain, man. I play games of my life on the razor's edge. Flames fade in the night in the face of death. Minutes from the place of rest. But if I did it, I'd be finished. Because I wasn't forgiven for sins, A to Z. He wiped the slate clean, man could be the holy temple. Be justified, what you think he even rose again for? Gateway of love, trail to Jehovah, strain out of slum, slain in a way that it said that they couldn't recognize his face from the way he was jumped. The payment was done when blood from the Father dripped down across out of veins of the sun. You wanna know my story? Through tides and over the storm. You wanna know my story? Through life, fighting the wars. So that's your kind of music then, Carl, the kind of urban, cool music.
You know me, mate. I mean, you only got to look at me and I ooze hip-hop.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I mean, when I came to the message, my kids said to me, Dad, I think you're just too cool for those guys. Do you know what I mean? In fact, they didn't actually say that. They said, how are you going to work at the Message Trust? They're already cool. That's actually what they said to me. So there you go.
Good stuff. So we've got some events coming up over this next year as well. You're speaking at Message Conference along with a few other well-known speakers.
Well, slightly better-known speakers, I would contend. Obviously, Andy Hawthorne will be speaking as well.
Some bloke who's involved in the Message.
Me and Andy are there speaking, you know, from the Message. But we also have the legendary evangelist Luis Palau, which is just astonishing. I mean, that guy's a dynamo.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Just, yeah, I mean, he only looks like he's in his 50s, but he's not, is he?
He's
in his early 80s. The energy and the passion. So he's like the evangelist Yoda, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, you know, preach the gospel to hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. So very, very excited about that. And we have one of the greatest sort of urban evangelist speaker, commentator type people, I think, in the world at the moment, which is Daniel Strickland speaking as well. So it's going to be amazing. There's going to be streams, isn't there, on sort of urban mission masterclass, evangelism masterclass. The whole thing's going to be epic over the weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. So make sure you book into that. If you go to the Message website and get all the details, and there's an early bird booking discount, which runs out on the 1st of May. So why don't you go there today and book your tickets? Another event that you're doing as well is this Press Red event that we're doing here at Message, that we're hosting here at Message, aren't we?
Correct, yeah.
So just tell us a bit about what Press Red is.
So Press Red was something I'm actually very, very passionate about, which is tackling this whole issue of gender-based violence. Now, around the world, violence against women is almost at epidemic proportion. I mean, the stats are absolutely alarming. And even in this country, actually, it's like a hidden curse. You know, it's like people don't talk about gender-based violence much in this country. It's something that happens behind closed doors in poor communities, middle-class communities, upper-class communities. And we're particularly focusing on violence against women. That's where the big issues really are. So I'm speaking at that, and Elaine Stalk is speaking at that, Ben Cooley is speaking at that, and it's something that Michelle Hawthorne has pulled together, a passion she really has for this, and got a team of people together to really look at this. And we're hoping that a movement will rise up out of this, a collective movement of all the different agencies coming together, because something's got to change.
Yeah,
it's just a disgrace. It's a scar upon humanity, really. So I'm obviously speaking there as somebody who used to lead a men's ministry and still president of Christian Vision for Men, and as part of the message. And my simple message is, we need blokes to engage, because the big problem we always had with this issue, whenever I used to speak about it in a men's ministry context, was the women would turn up and the men wouldn't.
Yeah.
And they just think they're going to get got out, or they just disengage from it. But we've got to get men switched onto this whole issue, and we've got to look at what we do to tackle this whole problem. So that's Press Red. It's going to be epic.
And that's 29th of April. Yep. And you can get tickets here at Message HQ. Yep. And you can get tickets through the website. Yep. Just go to message.org.uk. Yep. And there's a link on there on the front page to that as well.
Absolutely prioritise coming to that conference. We've really got to be just talking about these issues openly, I think.
Absolutely. You've been working on a book as well recently, haven't you? Called The Way. So just tell us a little bit about that.
So I've generally written a book over the last year, sort of every 18 months. And I've done these different Bible study books. And I wrote a book on prayer for men. But in the background, one of the things that I think God really gave me, going way back into the late 90s now, was a deep kingdom understanding of the Beatitudes and Romans 12, I think, about having an opposite spirit and, you know, I staying calm in conflict, being open-handed when people are attacking you, being gracious in the face of ungrace, forgiving and loving your enemies, all that kind of stuff. And it's been brewing in my heart for a long time. So my publisher, CWR, said, look, why don't you just write this thing down? Why don't you just see what happens, you know? So I did. And 35,000 words later, I've just written a guide to living the Beatitudes in Romans 12, verse 9 onwards, which is, you know, about radical hospitality and loving your enemy and all that kind of stuff. And the Romans 12 stuff is amazing. So it's a 21st century guide for people who are living in screen culture and people on social media. You know, Christians can be shocking on social media, right? But I'm hoping also I have something to say to people who aren't Christians yet as well. So, yeah, that's coming out in June. It's called The Way, because obviously early Christians were called followers of the way until Antioch, when they were first called Christians. So it's about, what does it mean to follow the way? Because obviously people looked at the first Christians and thought their lifestyle was so holistic, so amazing, so at odds, so opposite to the culture. It was a total way of living. So that's what the book is.
If you want to have a sort of a cheeky kind of preview of some of that stuff, you've been doing some of those talks actually on Tuesday mornings, which again is on our main podcast, isn't it? So you can have a listen to that too.
Yeah, so actually that's what I was doing. I was sort of writing these chapters down and working it out in my talks, you know, and I think it went down all right, didn't it, mate?
It went down very well.
Yeah. So hopefully the when it's written down, it'll...
It was so good, they made a book about it.
Come on, mate. Yeah.
Good
and
stuff.
And a T-shirt will be next.
Yeah. And if you want to get a hold of a free copy of that, we're going to be giving some away, then as we said last time, if you just drop us an email through to info@message.org.uk, just tell us what you like about the podcast, and we'll pick your name out of a hat, and we'll give some free copies of that book away as well. So,
and I promise I won't sign it, because it will massively devalue it then, won't it?
It will ruin it.
Yeah, ruin it. Yeah.
So we're going to have a quick listen now to an interview we did earlier on with our Message Academy guys. So Message Academy is our kind of year out program here, and we're going to find out a little bit more about Message Academy. So I'm now joined by some wonderful people from Message Academy. I'm joined by Matt, who's the course leader.
Whoop whoop.
By Joel.
Hello.
And by Shanita.
Hey.
Good stuff. So for those people, Matt, who don't know nothing about Message Academy, just tell us a little bit about what it is.
Sure. So Message Academy is our training program. So it's anyone who's 18 to 25, come and do 10 months with us in youth work and evangelism. So I get all sorts of training, Bible teaching, youth work placements, missional opportunities. Just a great place to grow in your skills, your relationship with God, and find your calling, and be part of the Message family.
Fantastic. So, Joel, how did you kind of find out about Message Academy? What brought you to us here in Manchester?
Okay, so I was actually applying for university in Manchester, but I had actually felt a couple of months before that maybe it wasn't the right thing. So I'd asked someone about churches in Manchester for when I was up here, and they had sent me like a link to the Message, and I went on the website and watched their promo videos, and I just knew, like, from watching them, yeah, God was saying, this is where you need to be, Joel. So I'm here.
Fantastic. And Shanita, what kind of was the thing that brought you here? What's your sort of... Matt talked about there being different kind of parts of the course. What was the sort of thing that attracted you to come and do Message Academy?
Well, before I came here, I just really wanted just to be more open to what God has for me. So I just like really wanted to learn more theology. I wanted to be like put out of my comfort zone and just like tested, and I really wanted to be challenged, because I just felt where I wasn't really being challenged. I was just basically ready for that next step of my relationship with God. So yeah, and then I just found out that this place could offer that for me as well.
And how have you found it so far? So you started in September?
Yeah.
And so you're kind of nearly 6 months in, well, more than 6 months in now. And how have you found the last kind of, 6 months?
Yeah, it's definitely been challenging and rewarding in loads of different ways. I think it's been incredible. The amount of people that we've met and been able to work with, you just wouldn't really get the opportunity in other internships or in other places. So it's amazing. Even though it is really busy and you can feel tired, like, I'm definitely grateful for all the experience that I have had on this course of just being able to do life with all kinds of different people.
And it's very practical, isn't it, Joel? So it's not just kind of loads of teaching and that's it. It's very hands-on, particularly as the year progresses, it gets more hands-on, doesn't it? So what are some of the things that you've been kind of doing sort of mission-wise since you've been here?
Yeah, so we've had lots of placements. We've been helping out at youth groups. Some of us have done sort of homeless street outreach. And there's also been like clinics that people have helped out at. It's very practical. We're sort of like youth workers that are just taken and put in churches and just find our feet once we're there. So it's been really cool for me, like, because I've come from a sort of like a musicy background, just being able to use that and like having youth group sessions where I've just been singing with the kids, and that's just a really nice way to just relax and build that trust up and then give a gospel message, and they're just more open to it after that. So that's been really, really fun for me.
Matt, so when the course started back in 2002, I think the kind of the tagline was like evangelism training school, and it was very much focused on sort of training the next level evangelists. We still do that, don't we? But there's kind of other elements that have been added over the years as well, haven't there?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the heart and DNA of the Message. So it's still the heart and DNA of Message Academy. But we want to use people's gifts and skills and talents. So if someone's a musician or a singer or a dancer, that's what we do at The Message with our band, so people can be trained up in those skills alongside being trained to be a youth worker and an evangelist. And all those skills are being used in order to have a platform, have a voice, have the authenticity to stand up and tell people about Jesus. So that stuff's always there, but it's always secondary to that's the reason we do that, is that they can tell people about Jesus and bring the gospel in a relevant way to young people.
Yeah, and it'd be good to hear kind of from both of you guys just what have been the highlights so far of being on the course.
Right. So on mission, I think being able to have the opportunity to work with Barnabas has been one of my favourite, and also Oasis, which is like, it's just a centre and quite a deprived area, so all the people from the neighbourhood like get to come in, and we get to just spend time with them, eat with them, and also like join in lessons with them. And I've just like, I've loved that, just being able to be a lot like doing it alongside them rather than just like above them or anything like that. And the people that I've just met there have just been like incredible, and being able to see from other people's points of views as well. But also, yeah, so during Barnabas, like being able to serve all the people who are homeless and just in need, and being able to just show them kindness and things that they wouldn't really get in the daytime from just people walking in the streets. It's been such a blessing to be able to meet them. And I think one of the times that stands out most to me is when we were just going along the streets, like offering teas and coffees out, and we met a man called Phil, and he was homeless, but he was also a Christian. And then he kind of just started evangelizing to us and just like telling us the gospel. And then he also prayed over us and prophesied over us as well. And I just thought, wow, that's incredible. Like this man who just like doesn't have anything is willing to just still, like he almost wanted to stay on the streets to be able to like spread Jesus's news to other homeless people. So it was just a really encouraging thing to see that someone who doesn't have much, but just seemed to have everything because they were just had Jesus in their lives.
That's great. And one of the things I love about Message Academy is we can really bless other ministries in the city. Yeah. And I know we've done that with a whole bunch of ministries over the years, Barnabas being one of those. Mm-hmm. I think we've pretty much done stuff with Barnabas most of the time Message Academy has been running. So for like 15, 16 years now. And I know they've really appreciated that, which is amazing to be able to kind of get involved in those areas of ministry as well. Yeah. How about you, Joel? What have been your highlights?
I've loved working with the Eden teams, like going to some of the areas around Manchester where Eden teams are and just helping them out. But I think actually watching myself change, like as I look back when I started, that's just been an incredible thing about Academy, because my mind has changed in a lot of ways. I think for certain, I'm definitely more confident now in how I evangelize, and I think I probably just care more than I used to. My heart breaks for the people that I go and work with. And yeah, I think that's just like such a testament to the teaching we've been getting. And also just having this year set like just for God time, really. Yeah, like we've got a year where we're completely focusing on God, and it set me up for the rest of my life to live in that way. So yeah, it's been amazing.
And you're all about to go to South Africa as well, aren't you?
Yeah, so the whole kind of the way the year is structured is to not just telling people how to do it, but actually giving them a chance to have a go. So this final season is 100 days of mission. We start with 2 weeks going to our message team in South Africa and Cape Town. And while we're there, we'll be going into the prisons. We'll be working with the Edens in the townships there. We're going to be taking some youth events, running some church services and some of the key partner churches. So really just full on mission and some stuff on the street as well. Amazing exposure for us as students to be able to go out into a different culture and really put into practice the stuff we've learned. But then to use that and the confidence that we get from that, to bring that back to the UK, and then all the students will be in different teams, and they'll be going all over the UK for the rest of those 100 days in schools, in Eden teams, working with churches, working communities. Some of them will be doing schools a week, community projects. But yeah, everything that they've seen, everything they've learned, all the kind of practical teaching and stuff they've had, just getting out there and doing it for themselves and seeing amazing things happen. It's a great way to end the year.
And one of the things I love about Message Academy is just the fact the students are just totally immersed in all that's happening here at the Message and getting exposure to all those different areas of ministry and people being able to kind of, and we've had so many people stick around afterwards and get involved in other parts of ministry, either joining Eden teams or missions teams. So for you guys, what's next for you? Have you kind of been given some inkling of what God's calling you to after doing this year?
I think so. I mean, I've gone with some of the mission bands on a few of their trips. Like, I went into prison with Brightline and went into school with Galactus Jack. And, yeah, it's just amazing. I love watching them do that thing and just like using music as their way in, building that initial trust and excitement, and then hitting them with the gospel. And like, I just love to be part of that. Not quite sure what my specific calling is, but like some sort of music ministry would be really, really cool.
Great. And how about you, Shanita?
Well, I'm originally from Wales, so I'd really like to go back to Wales and just start doing mission there, because I've never done or been equipped to do that in Wales. So I'd love to just take everything that I've learned this year and just take it back to Wales with me and just be able to maybe start something, be a part of mission over there. I don't really know what that looks like yet, but I'm just going to trust God with it and hopefully I'll be able to do that.
That's great. And for people who are maybe listening to this, who either maybe themselves are kind of sort of right age bracket, kind of 18s to sort of 25s, or maybe they've got someone at their church who might be kind of in that bracket for Message Academy, what would you say to people if they're thinking about, you know, potentially taking a year out somewhere? Why would you recommend Message Academy for them?
Yeah, I mean, I've personally been encouraging my sister to do it. She's that age bracket. but yeah, just pray about it. Make sure God's calling you to it. And because it is just such an incredible experience, you've got time set aside to work on your relationship with God. And then you've got opportunities to put into action. And that's perfect, isn't it?
Fantastic. So, Matt, what are the things that are unique about Message Academy?
What makes it unique is the fact that it's so part of the Message family. So you get to be doing the youth work with Eden teams, you get to be in schools with the bands, you get to be in prison with our prison teams. So you're not just learning from the Academy course, you're learning from everything that the Message is a part of.
Fantastic. And so you talked about the 100 days of mission that are happening. How can people kind of see that mission stuff? Can they follow you on Twitter? What's your Twitter?
Yeah, we're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of that. Just search for Message Academy.
Yeah, and you can go to the Message website and find out more about Message Academy at message.org.uk/academy and find out loads more. Thanks so much for joining us, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Fantastic. So good to hear from the Message Academy team there. Yeah. So as we kind of come into land, Carl, we always ask Andy when he's on the podcast for kind of prayer requests, really. Yeah. So what can people be praying for us at this time?
Well, at the front of my mind at the moment is the fact that we're opening up a new hub in Yorkshire, which is very, very exciting. And you're going to hear lots about that, I'm sure. And we've got two great leaders about to take up posts at the end of April. And I'd love you to pray for Matt and Josh as they look to get going with us. And obviously, they've got a massive job with Higher looming for Yorkshire and lots of potential for Eden and Creative Mission and Enterprise. They've got a massive job ahead of them, actually. And so I really appreciate prayers for Soft Landing. So that's Matt and Josh. Pray for those guys. Also good, I think, just to pray for the whole work as we try and expand and do it smartly in God's time. So obviously praying for Wales, praying for London. We've got a key event coming up in London, actually, in April, as a key fundraising event, because London, I mean, millions and millions of people, and we've just got going, and it's a multi-million pound vision that we have, so we really need people to be backing that. And obviously our main work here, trying to roll out Eden across the country, praying for Gary Smith in Wales as he tries to ramp things up and looks towards higher. And Midlands, I'll just say this, we have our launch events for the Midlands over the middle of May, and I'd love to see them packed out. I mean, it's so important that they're packed out and people really capture the vision for that. I'm not saying I'm nervous about it. I'm just saying we need to be praying about it, because the potential to reach tens of thousands of kids is immense. So please do pray for that, and pray for Shane, our Midlands coordinator.
Fantastic. So we always want people to keep in contact with us, don't we? So you can do that on Facebook, facebook.com/messagetrust, and on Twitter @messagetrust. And how can people follow you on Twitter?
I am on @beachymessage.
Fantastic. So
check that out. I'm also on Facebook. That's Carl Beach.
Yeah, check. You're there somewhere. Yeah.
Apparently.
So, yeah, make sure you keep in contact with us. And thanks for joining us today, Carl. And we'll speak to you again soon.
See you.